Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you were talking. I didn't mean to interrupt. Welcome to our worship this day. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. We hope you can join us again for our worship. Bunch of stuff for you to catch up on. In your bulletin is an insert regarding the midweek Lenten services beginning this Wednesday, with services this Wednesday at noon and at 7 for Ash Wednesday, and then the Lenten midweek services following that will be at noon only, and a little information there from Pastor Glenn about that. Secondly, Pastor Glenn and Keisha are in Hickory celebrating twin number one's wedding, Sally and Edward, getting married this past weekend. We will keep them in our prayers. Tim and Deb Johnson are in Asheville celebrating the birth of grandbaby number nine. Timothy Troms Johnson, not named after Timothy Johnson, not named after Rebecca's dad, Timothy, nor Rebecca's brother, Timothy, but actually Deb's brother, Timothy Troms, who was killed in a car accident a long time ago. So Timothy Troms Johnson, or I guess Quad, we'll call him Five or whatever. So we're rejoicing along with those families in our worship. There will be fellowship downstairs. My wife was up all night making donuts. No, she was not up all night making donuts, but there are donuts. There are donuts downstairs for your consumption, since, of course, you will be giving up the eating of all donuts for Lent. Perhaps or perhaps not. Now, speaking of Lent and Easter, we're trying to get the choir back together. And if you are interested in singing, or if you sing and you're not interested, either way, you want to talk to Diane Keener back there, the waving her hand. So we need choir members. We just sort of faded away then, so we'll try to do that. There was one other thing, and so the order of service is printed completely in your worship folder, including all of the hymns and the lessons. So you really don't need anything. However, it's just a little challenge to y'all Lutherans. The opening hymn is Beautiful Savior, which, in my opinion, has probably the coolest four-part harmony of any four-part harmony hymn. And so you need to haul out your four-part harmony Lutheran stuff and sing as much as you possibly can in harmony for Beautiful Savior. You can do this in your sleep, I know that. So let's stand for the greeting and the opening hymn.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Please kneel or remain standing or be seated as you are able. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor citizen. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand for prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of your inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Morning. How are you today? Are you good? All right. The two songs that we just sang talked about Jesus in having his face shine so bright. And so today, we're going to use this We're going to be chemists today, so we're not baking today. We're just going to do chemistry, all right? Chemistry is when you're mixing things together and things change a little bit. There you go, science with chemicals, perfect. So we're going to use this. This looks plain, doesn't it? I mean, you can even kind of see through it. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to hear in a few minutes is the story about when Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to come with him and go up the mountain. And they were going to be together and pray. But kind of like what Peter, James, and John have an issue, they fell asleep. And when they woke up, they saw an amazing sight. They saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, and Jesus' face shone bright as day. So we're going to look at this a little bit. And in here, I have this liquid. It actually made it without spilling. And so it's kind of cloudy, right? And there were lots of clouds up there, the Bible says. And if I can do this without spilling, I think I got it. And I'm going to put this down just a hair so I can open up the top. All right, so here's the chemistry part. I'm going to put this liquid inside here, maybe. I do need help. I just don't want to make a mess. Okay. So as you can see, yeah, I kind of added some sparkle, so I'm going to make sure that I get this all closed because I don't want anything escaping. All right, so what do you see in here?
Green liquid, greenish yellow.
Yeah, it's kind of a greenish yellow liquid, and it's, does it look a little bubbly?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks a little bubbly. Well, guess what? If we shine a little light on it, look what happens. You see that?
The nighttime sky.
It does look like the nighttime sky, doesn't it?
But
so when the disciples saw that Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah, they saw his face shine. And do you see how this is shining? And what we need to remember is that God's love fills our hearts and helps us to have shining faces because we're happy. We're happy that Jesus loves us and has died for us. And we're going to be hearing all about that in the next few weeks during Lent, how important that was. So remember how this glowed so that in your heart can glow with Jesus' love. Let's pray. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, just so. And it does actually, work. There you go. I tried it last night to make sure. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the joy we experience in Jesus Christ. Help us to have the joy in our heart so we have shining faces too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. you, guys. Go back.
The Old Testament lesson for this morning comes from Exodus chapter 24, beginning at the 8th verse. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw God, the God of Israel. There were under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel, and they beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait here, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of instruction of God and said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him take it to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain, and in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves overheard this very voice born of the heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp in a dark room, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
The rest of you have figured it out too. The second and third lines of that hymn of praise were juxtaposed. When you're cutting and pasting stuff, sometimes that happens, and apparently it did. There are gremlins that live in word processors that just live to do this sort of thing, so glad we were able to help them out there. The Holy Gospel this morning from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We join the people of God in every time and place, confessing together our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We remain standing to sing the hymn. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, some of you have noted on my Facebook page that I am apparently an incurable romantic. I took my wife to Lowe's for Valentine's Day while others were out hustling out of nearly every store in town clutching batches of roses. I got the love of my life 5 bags of mushroom soil. and she had lumber to make some raised garden beds. But in my defense, she actually asked for the mushroom soil, and she had gotten a really nice card and a freshly written poem on her birthday. It was, you know, only just a couple of weeks ago, so no need to go through all of that again. And then there's this. My friend Jim once told me that the extent of my love for Karen is perhaps most obvious when I can't see her. A bunch of years ago, we were wandering around in Germany somewhere, and our wives had gone off to look at a really old wall or something, and I lost sight of her. And Jim said, "You always get that look when you don't know for sure where she is. But when you see her, it's all love." Aww. And it's still true. It has been from the very first moment I recognized I was in love with her. And then that moment of what is probably more anxiety than ardor when I can't see where she is overwhelmed when I can see her again. And that seeing is not just relief, but this profound realization of the completeness that is the two of us. And when I get to see her, one of whose love for us has changed my life, things are different. When we get to see those things that change our lives, things are different. If you are or ever have been in love, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost as if we have stars in our eyes. I guess that's where that comes from. It's the way our lives are different because of the one that we're looking at. Well, imagine then the impact of someone who does, in fact, shine like the stars and whose love for us is so great that it not only changes our lives, it makes our lives entirely new. The story tells us Jesus had taken his three most influential disciples with him to the top of the mountain on which, right before their eyes, he began to shine with the glory of his divine nature. I can't even get my head around that. And that in itself is too much for me to even begin to understand. I don't have a way to comprehend what it might mean for the brilliance of God himself, the very creator of light, to shine through the physical being of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God in flesh. But there it is. Well, Matthew tries to help us a little bit to understand what that might be. He heaps on description on top of another to try to help us grasp what's going on. He says, his face was shining like the sun. His clothes were as bright as light. A brilliant cloud enveloped them, and the voice of God himself spoke out of the cloud. All helpful images, you know. But perhaps the most telling is that the disciples fell on their faces in sheer terror. But then this, right into their terror and absolutely mind-numbing fear, Jesus came to them and touched them and told them to not be in fear. And you know, that becomes sort of a ritual for Jesus and his guys. But just now, coming out of the blindness of that fear, when they looked up, Matthew says they saw only Jesus. They only had eyes for Jesus. And from that point on, in their relationship, they understood what it meant that this man they were following around was in fact the very Son of God. They saw him looking like that. And all at once, they knew him in a different way than they ever had known him before. And they understood in a whole new way what it meant that God loved the world so much that he was sending his own Son into the world for the sake of the people whom he had created. Now that wasn't just a theory. They saw Jesus shining like the sun. And they would never be the same again. Huh? That experience, seeing the undiminished love of God on display in the brilliance of the transfigured Jesus, made them different. And toward the end of his life, you heard Mike reading about this, toward the end of his life, Peter, the apostle, would try to help those that he was writing to understand what sort of power there is in being an eyewitness of majesty. Finally, he settled for this incredible, beautiful phrasing: "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." That's pretty cool. Without question, those men were dramatically changed by the powerful glimpse of glory of God. The Bible tells us that all those who get these little glimpses of God's glory come away different somehow. Abraham, Moses, sure, Elijah, clearly Isaiah, Ezekiel, they all saw something of this majestic unveiling of God's glory, and they all lived to tell about it. And just as they told about it, they did so in a way that they would never have been able to say before. But as they told about it, they did it in a way that they understood. They knew that they had been in the presence of God's glory. But so much more in the retelling, they had words of God to say. The word that always came with the glory. You know, the glory never just shows up and shows off. The word was far greater impact than the brilliant display of majesty and might. The glory was pretty amazing. But the word, it's the word that changes things. What the word consistently told those who beheld that resplendent glory, what the word consistently tells us, is that what Jesus told the disciples in a touch when they looked up from their profound fear and astonishment to see Jesus only, they found out that they were now completed in a way that they had never anticipated until they witnessed in person the glorious love of God. That's what's going on. The presence of God is not limited to grandeur or splendor. It's the most apparent in God's gentle presence and in his loving care for those he loves. The love God has for all of creation surpasses all comprehension, outshines the dazzling stars themselves. I don't know if you spend a whole lot of time reading that quirky little Old Testament book, the Song of Songs. It's ascribed to King Solomon. But maybe Valentine's week is a good excuse as any to do so. It's written as a love song. And even though it contains the always popular comparison of his lover's teeth to sheep coming up out of the dip, it has some pretty good imagery in it. At one point, the poet rhapsodizes about his love and says, "Before I knew it, my desire had set me among the chariots of Amminadab." Interpreters don't quite know what that means, being set in the chariots of Amminadab, but I get it. I've been there. Not in the chariots of Amminadab, but whatever that is. But so dazzled by the love of the one who appears like the dawn and shines like the sun, who is as fair as the moon and majestic as the stars in procession, when I take time to think about the love that Karen and I have been privileged to share for all of these years, I can easily get lost in that. Find myself in places I don't have the foggiest notion about. But amazing as that part of love is, I don't think it's the best part even. The best part is actually at Lowe's. Or, you know, some place or situation or circumstance is distinctly mundane. We're not being transported beyond ourselves into some faraway place. Our love is even then still hard at work.
Our love makes us able to forgive and to strengthen each other. The commitment that we made to each other in our love works even when we fail miserably to live up to those expectations. And that's true because our love is bigger and stronger than we are by ourselves. And in a different way, that's what the disciples would come to discover as they went out to lead the church from the events of death and resurrection of Jesus into the world to which Jesus was sending them as witnesses. They would go out with this message about God's love and forgiveness based on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And in a very short period of time, in this extraordinary way, what they were up to would turn the world completely upside down. This was going to be going into uncharted territory for them. Jesus himself barely ventured outside the confines of Israel. His teachings were known only to a few outside this little gang of disciples. Their entire message would hang on what they knew to be the absolute certainty of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But then, just as they were getting ready to go out, he disappeared from them into heaven. Even before he rose, the Jewish and Roman authorities were already claiming that his body would be stolen and reburied. But off they went anyway. An extremely small force, 12 leaders maybe, probably no more than 500 followers, none of whom had any experience taking a message about anything, anywhere, rejected by their own people, ridiculed by the world empire. And yet in little more than a generation, what Jesus had started spread as his disciples traveled across the empire until Jesus' followers could be found all over, including in the very household of Caesar himself. And that was not because of the brilliance of the appearance of the disciples. It was rather because the kingdom grew, because those who went out knew what they had seen, the love of God shining through Jesus, and that love was now shining through them. From town to village to major city, they could go among the frightened and the hurting and the lost and the lonely and the unloved and the unloving and the despairing and the desperate, and they could tell every one of them to not be afraid. They could show them the risen and ascended Jesus, because his promise to them after his resurrection came true. He really did stay with them. They didn't know how that worked. They only knew that it worked. When they loved others with the love that Jesus had shown them, people saw Jesus and believed. What people saw when they saw the followers of Jesus moving across the landscape of the first century would, as the light of God's love shining in a dark place of their sin. They saw a new day dawning and a morning star rising in the hearts of those who believed. It wasn't the believers alone who made the incredible impact. It was the love of God in those believers. And as they went, they knew for sure about God's love and how that love had changed them, and all they had to share was that love. But when they shared it, those who received it knew that it what it was, because it had the power to change them then too. And that's how it's been in the church ever since. All we have to work with is the love of God for us in Jesus. But that love is so powerful, so incredibly overwhelming, that those who get to see it in us know that we have been changed by it. And when we can share it with them, they then can be transported by it to places that they would have never expected. And when we see God's love for us in Jesus, we're taken outside of our fear. And God gives us the freedom from the punishment of our sins deserved as a free gift, and makes that promise sure in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we have nothing to fear, because our relationship with God that began there in our baptism with the forgiveness of our sins for all time And that promise is repeated to us daily as we remind ourselves of that goodness, and we're fed with the fullness of that promise in the very body and blood of Jesus and the meal that he left for us in his remembrance. And we remind ourselves in our fellowship together in this place and in each household of this congregation through our daily exercise of prayer and the study of God's word. And we know that we have nothing to fear, because as we look up out of the horror of our sins, all we see is Jesus. And that's the gift we have for ourselves and to offer to this community, that we know about the transforming love of God for us in Jesus, and we have the privilege and the challenge to live our lives in our homes, in our places of work, in our schools, in the public places of our community, in such a way that when others see us, they see the love of Christ shining in us. Should be obvious. In the name of Jesus, to the glory of God, amen. We stand to pray.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of mercy, great morning star, dawning from on high and risen among us to give us your light of salvation. With Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, you revealed yourself in dazzling light, confirming in your flesh the ancient prophecies. Graciously reveal yourself to us in your word and sacraments, that we may believe and confess you rightly and faithfully serve you and your people in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace and glory, keep your church faithful in confession and faith, that we may not forsake you nor be led astray by earthly things. Give us strength to boldly proclaim your word of truth, that through it we may be kept ever faithful in thought, word, and deed. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed God, deal kindly with the nations of the earth. Give wisdom to the leaders of our nation, that they may act according to your will. Grant stability and peace to the nations, that hostilities may cease, and that all people everywhere may come to mutual trust and equitable governance. Lord, in your mercy. Great God of love, you create and establish families on earth. We join Pastor Glenn and Keisha as they rejoice at the marriage of Sally and Edward, and with Tim and Deb Johnson rejoicing with Ian and Rebecca at the birth of Timothy Troms. Keep, we pray, all who live in the covenant of marriage and all who experience the privilege of parenthood, that by their love they may display your love into the world. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you promise help to widows, orphans, and the forsaken. Graciously hear our prayers on behalf of all those who are lonely. By your aid, give them comfort and consolation through your holy word, assuring them of your steadfast love and never failing mercy and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, grant your healing to those who are sick and disabled, especially those whom we name in our hearts before you now. Give strength and wisdom to those who care for the ill in their infirmities. Strengthen and encourage our hands, hearts, and resolve to aid those in need of help and service. Lord, in your mercy. Generous God, use us to show your compassion to those in need of food, clothing, shelter, or any other necessity of body and life. Move us who have your gifts in abundance to share what we have with others. Lord, in your mercy. Resurrected Lord, you gave yourself into death to destroy the power of sin, death, and the grave. Uphold those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Comfort them in their grief with the sure and certain promise of the resurrection to everlasting life. Promise to all who hope in you. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, you have given us the light of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Into your gracious hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the mercy you have revealed to us in him through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and into all eternity. Amen.
Congregation, you can be seated.
Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in true faith unto life that never ends. Go in peace and joy. The Lord is with you. Amen. Six weeks, and so as we do that, we sing this song, Hallelujah, Song of Praise.